Revelation chapter number 1, if you have your Bibles. And the boys and girls are dismissed for junior church. Revelation chapter number 1. And we're going to read one verse together, verse number 5, Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5. If you have a King James Bible, let's all read together in unison, shall we? And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Lord, thank you for the Lord for these dear folks, the church, not the building, but the people that are saved and baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I pray, dear Holy Spirit of God, that you speak to our hearts now concerning this matter. Probably one of the most important subjects I've ever spoken about. I pray that we'd not be distracted, that we would not be a distraction, that we would not let our minds wander, but be focused here on the preaching of the very Word of God. Dear Holy Spirit of God, please bless, meet with us in a very special way, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Christianity is a bloody religion. That's what it used to be called for 1900 plus years. That all we talked about was the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. And too often, especially in the last, I'll say, 20 to 50 years or so, we've heard less preaching about the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe that is the one reason, one of the reasons why we have no power in the churches today, in the individual lives today. Because I do not believe that people comprehend or understand fully the blood of Jesus Christ and its impact on a person's life and in their salvation. So we're going to take some Bible verses today and go through a Bible study this morning on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and why it is necessary for your salvation. Why it is an important, the most important ingredient in your growth and in your outlook in life. Every other religion fights wars. I don't care what it is. Muslim, Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, atheism. Every religion on the face of the earth sheds blood nonstop. We live in a world that is saturated and soaked in a bloodthirsty appetite of society. Most video games kids play and adults play today are filled with gore and blood. If there's no blood and killing and gore involved, it's too boring for us. We shoot them up as if they're like toys. We shoot them up as if they're like cartoons. We shoot them up, and you wonder why the consciences of folks are getting seared. And that's why they just shoot people willy-nilly. Blood splatters all over the computer screen. You reset, you kill and shoot, you lock and load up again, you go out and kill as many as you possibly can. And our society now is thirsting, bloodthirsting for blood. That's all they want. They want to bomb people, kill people, shoot people, cut people's heads off. We live in a world that is bloodthirsty, ladies and gentlemen. And for some reason, we have been intimidated as churches or individuals to mention the very thing that can save a person's soul, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're almost ashamed or timid in broaching the subject to a bloodthirsty society that's already blood-soaked. I mean, witches now, witchcraft and the satanic rituals have been recognized as an organized religion by the Supreme Court with tax deductions now, and they literally have blood sacrifices. They drink their blood in cups as they have their satanic rituals. But yet God's people are intimidated by telling the world that only the blood of Jesus Christ can save a person's soul and give you power to live a victorious Christian life. The reason you're not saved is because you have not believed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too often we have made our church, our baptisms, our church work almost comparable to other denominations that don't believe in the new birth, in the virgin birth, in the deity of Christ. And too often there's almost not much difference between our kind of churches and their kind of church. We almost sing the same kind of songs. We almost have the same kind of phraseology. We come and meet together in a religious setting. We have a religious book. But what's not mentioned as often as should be mentioned is the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat this. If you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not saved. I don't care how long you've been coming to church. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care what kind of prayer you said. I don't care if you bowed your head. It doesn't matter to me. God's very clear. We're about to read these verses. If you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not saved. 1 Corinthians 15 is very clear. You may have believed in vain, the Bible says. I don't know. I don't know your heart. But are you born again today? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? You don't have to do it one time. One time. Not five times, not 10 times, not every week. I remember when I got saved and the priest came over. He used to come to my house, and my aunt's brother's a priest, and I had priests all over in the family, you know. My father-in-law was going to become a priest, but he cut that short. But he knows his Bible, the Greek Bible, I'll be honest with you. But they all sat down. They all tried to sit me down and said, you know, why'd you leave the church? And I talked to the priest. I said, how come you don't sacrifice animals anymore like they did in the Old Testament? I mean, you have the religious garb, you have the priest garb, you have your candles over there, you have your incense over there, you have the trappings like they had in the Old Testament. How come you don't sacrifice any animals and bulls and goats like they did in the Old Testament? He couldn't answer me. Couldn't answer me. Every Jewish rabbi, every Jewish high priest is supposed to sacrifice bulls and goats as commanded in the book of Leviticus. You'll not find that in any synagogue today. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. We live in a bloody world. A bloody world. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John, chapter number 1, please. 1 John, the book right before Revelation, four books before Revelation. 1 John, chapter number 1. Verse number 7. If you haven't listened to anything else I ever said, you listen to what I have to say this morning about the blood of Jesus Christ. This kind of sermon, if you believe it, will straighten up your life more than anything else I will ever preach on, ever. The Bible says, but if we walk, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. Well, let's go to start in number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Church attendance can never wash away your sin. Pay attention to me this morning. Hey, pay attention. If you want to go home and talk, when we're done, go home and talk. Right now it's preaching time. I got something very important to tell you this morning. It's about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can save your soul and straighten your life up. My Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Baptism can never cleanse your sins away. Can never wash your sins away. Church attendance, church membership can never wash your sins away. Never. Ever. I don't care how much money you give in the offering basket. You can't buy your way into heaven. The only way you're ever going to get to heaven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at your Bible in Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5. Verse number 9. You know what they sing up in heaven? They don't sing about good works. They don't sing about their religion. They don't sing about their denomination. They don't sing about their baptism. They don't sing about how good they've been. They didn't sing about how good they are to other people. You know what they sing about? They sing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the only thing that will save your soul from hell. Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. They're singing to Jesus, take the book, the word of God, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. People are saved around the world, not because you live in America, not because you grew up in a Christian home, not because your parents are Christian. You are saved because one day you realize you're a sinner on your way to hell. You ask God Almighty for mercy to save your soul. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you may not have realized all of it, what was happening, but the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins all away. Not this building, not this church, not this preacher, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. You couldn't stop your sins. You couldn't change your life. It was the blood of Jesus Christ that washes all our sins away. Go to Hebrews chapter number 9, please. Hebrews chapter number 9. Verse number 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats. Now you think about being there physically present in this tent in the temple when Moses was doing this. After he finished writing the first five books of the Bible, the law, the Bible says that when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Watch this. And without shedding of blood is no remission. I mean, can you imagine being there? Moses finishes writing the five books of the Bible from Genesis to Deuteronomy. He reads it to the people. And then he takes the blood of bulls and calves. And he sprinkles the book. He sprinkles the people. He sprinkles the temple with the very blood. Why would he do that? Because it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross, that God Almighty has sprinkled his blood on this book. Not the blood of bulls and calves, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a spotless, sinless blood. When you got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ was sprinkled on you that washed away your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled on the congregation that has trusted Jesus Christ. You may not understand all this, but spiritually that's exactly what happened at salvation. 1 Peter chapter number 1, please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. You cannot be cleansed, you cannot be clean, you cannot be whole, you cannot be made white again, except for with the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18. The Apostle Peter writes, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. This is how you're redeemed, verse number 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you know why you and I are going to die? Because we have the blood from our grandpappy Adam that was handed down generation to generation to generation. And that's why we're all sinners, because we have filthy, wretched, wicked blood that's sinful. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, watch this, is without blemish and without spot. Jesus never sinned because he's God. He had perfect blood, pure blood. And you need his blood, not the blood of calves and bulls like they had in the Old Testament as a picture of what was to come. You need the blood of the spotless Lamb of God that gave his life on the cross of Calvary, who shed his blood willingly for the salvation of souls. People say, well, the soldiers killed Jesus, or the Jews killed Jesus. I want to remind you that Jesus personally laid down his life voluntarily, ladies and gentlemen, so that he could shed his blood for the salvation of us. Colossians chapter number one, please. Colossians chapter number one. And verse number 24. I'm sorry, verse number 14. In whom the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse number 13, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The only way God can forgive you of your sins is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter number 7, please. Revelation chapter number 7. The Bible says in Luke 22, verse number 44, that when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says great sweat drops of blood were coming down. And from the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus was praying and the blood was dripping, blood, sweat, blood. He was praying in agony, the Bible says. There was a trail of blood from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way up to Calvary that he shed for you and I. Not a regular man's blood, but the Son of God's blood. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? This is in heaven. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The only way you can be spotless and white is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way. The only way. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 3, please. I was not there when you got saved, for most of you. Some of you I led to the Lord. Most of you, I was not there as you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save your soul, if you're saved here this morning. But two things are necessary for a person to be saved. Obviously, you have to realize you're a sinner. Obviously, you have to realize that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the Son of God. Obviously, you have to realize there's no hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But two of the most important ingredients in the plan of salvation is that person needs to know that they are on their way to hell and they deserve to go to hell. If that person does not realize that they need to go to hell to pay for their sins and that they deserve to go to hell, they are not saved and they cannot be saved. I don't care what kind of prayer they mentioned. I don't care what kind of words they said. I don't care how sweet it was. I don't care if their tears are coming down. If they did not believe that they were being saved from hell, they are not saved. The second thing, you cannot be saved unless you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is what has washed away your sins. Romans chapter number 3, we read verse 23 all the time. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is the redemption that is in Christ Jesus? Verse number 25, please. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Now watch this. Through faith in his blood. I've never seen the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ with my physical eyes. I've never seen Jesus Christ with my physical eyes. I've never seen heaven, never seen hell. But I tell you this much, I was saved by faith. Because I believe what God said about a place called hell that I deserve to go to pay forever. That I deserve to go to a place called hell to pay for my sins and not come out for all eternity because that's what I deserve as a sinner. I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ paid for my sin, died on the cross, was resurrected, virgin born, God Almighty in the flesh, paid for my sin and took my place on that cross and took your place, by the way. And he shed his blood, not by mistake, but on purpose, so that I could be saved, so that you could be saved. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. Verse 25, read this again. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. He took the place of. Through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness that he might be just. Watch this. And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Did you believe in Jesus Christ? Or did you just try? Oh, you know, my life is messed up. I might as well try this, see how it goes. That's not salvation. I'm going to see how it works out for 3 or 6 months. I'm going to try this religion now. I tried this other one, but it's not working out. I'll try a new religion now. I'll try a Baptist church now. That's not religion. That's not salvation. That's religion, but not salvation. Are you safe from hell? Has the blood of Jesus Christ washed away all your sins? Did you believe in Jesus Christ? The virgin-born Son of God, sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die. That's why we're all going to die. We wear this flesh coat. We're sinners. We have sinful blood. But even the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. How can we be made alive? By getting the everlasting blood, eternal, spotless blood that was flowing through the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled on us that washes all our sins away. 1 John chapter number 1, please. Let's go there. 1 John chapter number 1. Jesus is the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. You take the blood out of somebody, they're dead. You have about 5 quarts of blood in the average person. You hit that carotid artery right over here, you puncture that, and 12 seconds, you're dead. 12 seconds, you're gone. Why are you dead? Because you had filthy, rotten, sinful blood going through our veins. In order to have eternal life, you need eternal blood that'll wash away your sins. 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, the Bible says. Look at 1 John chapter number 5, please. Verse number 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. What was in the Lord Jesus Christ? His blood. Eternal life rests in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have believed in when we believed in Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, that and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The blood of Jesus Christ that flowed through his veins, that he shed on the cross of Calvary, is what saves individuals. Not the life of Christ, not the miracles of Christ, not the teachings of Christ, but the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason we won't stay dead one day is because by faith we believe in the shed blood that brings justification that's connected with Jesus Christ's resurrection. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps us out of hell. In John 19:28, Jesus cried on the cross. He said, I thirst. That's what he said in John 19:28, I thirst. Well, why would he say, I thirst on the cross? I'll tell you why, because he took our place on the cross. Because in Luke 16:24, the man burning in hell, even today, 2,000 years later, pled and begged for mercy for one drop of water. And Jesus took our place on the cross in the place of our hell so that we wouldn't have to go to a place called hell. Take your Bible, please, turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Churches are filled all across this country with unsaved people. People go to religious gatherings today just as lost as they're leaving just as lost as they entered in. They're doing their religious duty. They're lighting their candles. They're bowing down to their statues or kissing their icons. They're smelling the incense, and they're coming in lost, and they're leaving lost. Religion cannot save you from hell. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save someone. No baptism, no church membership, no church attendance. Your good works, your good life cannot save you. If they could, then why would Jesus die on the cross and shed his blood? If your baptism was good enough, then why would Jesus have to die and give his blood? If your church attendance was good enough, if your life you think is good enough, if you're a good person you think is good enough, then why would Jesus have to die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins? Why? Amen. You could not be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not your good works, but the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. We're almost done. Pay attention. Hebrews chapter number 9. Verse number 11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to this purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know why you're not saved? Because you didn't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why you believe you can't live right? Because you don't believe what we just read. The power of Jesus Christ can transform your life. Not the preaching, not the teaching, but you're believing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, I can't do that. Yes, you could. If somebody else can do it, why can't you do it? You may not be a preacher. You may not be a missionary. I understand that. You may not be a teacher. But if somebody else can live for God, you can live for God. Don't tell me you can't. Don't tell me God hasn't called you to it. There is power in the blood, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 4, please, the first book in the Bible. I got four more passages and I'm done. Genesis chapter number 4. The first time blood is ever mentioned in the Bible has to do with a murder. Cain killing Abel. Because God demanded a blood sacrifice, and Abel took the sheep, killed it, took the blood, and offered a blood sacrifice to God because God demands a blood sacrifice. And that's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus come, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The priest can't do it. The preacher can't do it. A church can't do it. Religion can't do it. But only Jesus Christ can take your sins away. So in Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 8, please. Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 8. "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, this is a very interesting verse, verse number 10. And he said, "What hast thou done?" Listen. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." Verse 10, God says, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me." I'm telling you, there's no hope for America this morning. Because when you shed the blood of over 1 million babies every year for the last 30, 40 years, the cry of those babies are crying out to God. And judgment day is coming. You cannot stop the judging hand of God Almighty on this country. The handwriting is already on the wall. But the Bible says that the blood of Abel cried out. That's what it says. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me." Hebrews chapter number 12, please. The blood of a sinner. Abel was a good man, but he was a sinner. He had sinful blood from his father Adam. But even that blood cries out to God. God said, "I heard the voice of Abel's blood crying out." There's something about the blood that God can hear. Hebrews chapter number 12, please. Verse 24. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh," watch this, "better things than that of Abel." Let's read that slower. "That speaketh." That speaketh. "That speaketh better things than that of Abel." If the blood of Abel 5,900 years ago cried out and God heard the voice of the blood of Abel, there's another blood that speaks. The Bible says here, "The blood of Jesus Christ speaketh better things than that of Abel." And right now, that blood that Jesus Christ took with him that we read earlier to heaven before the throne, on the mercy seat, before the mercy seat, in heaven, is speaking right now. That's not normal blood. That's not your blood. It's not my blood. It's not sinful blood. It's blood without spot and without blemish that speaks today. And when you get to heaven, if you're saved, you're going to see the blood that washed away your sins. It won't be a baptism. It won't be a church membership. It won't be your good life. It won't be your pride. It'll be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity that will speak. Yet that we have disregarded, that we've been timid to explain and express to people. These same people who watch their bloodthirsty video games and want to bomb and kill people overseas, and they think it's funny just pressing buttons and killing people and seeing the blood splatter all over. Verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. That blood is what's speaking right now. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. My Bible says in verse 24 that his blood is speaking. In verse 26, the Bible says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, the word of God, that sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Revelation 12, please. Do you understand that you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? And that was the only thing that saved you. Not the life of Christ. Not the death of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11. Revelation 12, verse number 11, and they overcame him, the Antichrist, Satan, the accuser of our brethren, the enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I'm telling you, on the authority of the word of God and the verse that we just read, you can overcome any addiction by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can overcome any habit by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can overcome any sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. You just don't believe it. If for the last 2,000 years, Christians have walked away from their dead churches, you can walk away from the dead church too. If for the last 2,000 years, Christians have been able to live a victorious Christian life based on the word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, you can too. The only difference is they believe that you don't believe it. I grew up lighting my candles and doing what my priest told me to do, and I was on my way to hell because they're on their way to hell. Caught in sin and caught in bondage, caught and trapped and couldn't get rid of my habits and couldn't do what was right. My Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's your testimony like? Sure, that's why you give into your addictions. That's why you give into your habits. What's your testimony like? You're relying on yourself, on flesh. That's weak. Instead of God Almighty and his blood. There's more power in the blood than you can ever imagine, ladies and gentlemen. We think we're tough because we can lift up 100 pounds or 200 pounds. We think we're tough because we can run. We can do these push-ups and pull-ups. We think we're tough. You wait till you see the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, man. And see how weak we really are. How sinful and wretched we really are. And you have dumped that to live your life on your own power. You have discarded the blood of Jesus Christ as if it's nothing. I'll do whatever I want to do. Yeah, how's it working out in your life? Yeah, how's your life worked out with your plans and your decisions? Where you wanted to go. Marry who you wanted to marry. Live where you wanted to live. Work where you wanted to work. Go wherever you want to go for religious services. How's that worked out in your life? You let the blood of Jesus Christ and believe that it's been applied, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ will literally transform your entire life, your mind, your conscience, and your heart. But you don't believe it. That's why you're still in a mess that you're in today. Let's close with Hebrews chapter number 10, and we'll wrap it up. Hebrews 10. That's why we smirk, we laugh, we giggle. We don't even think this is important. You'd rather go to a football game, a basketball game, a hockey game, a badminton game. You'd rather go to camp somewhere. You'd rather go to the beach somewhere. You'd rather disobey God than live a victorious Christian life when it's available for you. It's available for you. You can have power over sin, power over the enemy, power over Satan. Jesus said all power is given to him. Why? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that has power. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 26. We'll close with this. Actually, let's read verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of grace. You claim to be saved. You claim to be born again. You claim to be a child of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and willfully disobey that book that's sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. You willingly count unworthy the blood that saved your soul from hell and do despite the Spirit of grace. How much sore punishment is awaiting you? In the Old Testament, they died under two or three witnesses. And that was just a picture. When they had the blood of the bulls and goats sprinkled, that's just a picture of what's going to come with Jesus Christ. You and I have power available to us that we don't avail ourselves of. You say, Pastor, I can't clean up my life. You could if you believe what I just said this morning. Pastor, I can't change my life. You could if you believe what I said this morning about the blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor, you don't understand how I grew up. You don't know what happened to me. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what happened to you. I know what the blood of Jesus Christ says in the Bible. And I know the power it has and what it can do to transform each and every life that believes by faith in his blood, according to Romans chapter number 3. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the blood. Thank you, dear God, for the blood that cleanses us and washes our sins away. My prayer, dear God, this morning, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray that today they'll get saved. It's a one-time shot, one moment in eternity, where they realize that they were sinners on their way to hell, not wanting to go there, and asking you for mercy to save their souls from hell. It's that simple. And you said that the blood of Jesus Christ, your blood, can wash away all our sins. Whatever the need is in this room, dear God, this room is probably filled with people who are saved, but have done despite under the Spirit of grace, who have that blood applied to them, that same blood that washed away their sin, that sits inside them. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We do not avail ourselves of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power thereof. What a shame. For all eternity, we're going to look back, and we lived a miserable, selfish, sin-stricken life, all because we did not yield to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's tragic. It's sad. We fell into sin, and not only do we harm ourselves, but we led others by our example down the wrong path. And we'll be held responsible and accountable for the others that we led astray. All because we have done despite under the Spirit of grace, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear Holy God Almighty, whatever the need is here this morning, I pray that you meet the needs. If there's anybody lost on their way to hell, may the blood of Jesus Christ wash their sins away today. I pray, dear God, for those of us who are saved. I pray, dear God, we be serious about what we're here for. I pray, dear God, that we be serious about our life, about our future, about eternity, and those about us. Oh, dear God, may we with sober minds come to thee, pleading for mercy and forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. Christians praying, please. Christians praying.